Okay, hello again. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. We're back again, and we are live tonight. So if anyone does want to call in, I will give out the numbers so you can call. The number for the United States is 1-888-268-4313. That's 1-888-268-4313. And if we have anyone listening overseas, the international number that people can call in is 1-281-419-7697. 1-281-419-7687. Okay. Now, in the past weeks, I've been talking a lot about my work and the things that I do, and last week I talked about the trips. So I think it's time now for me to begin focusing on the information in my books. And one thing I don't like about doing it this way, I'm so used to giving lectures where there's audiences out there, and I can look at faces, and I can look out over the audience, and then you know if you're reaching them or not. You know their the way they are receiving you by the impressions on their face. And I really miss that, because here I am sitting in my office looking at the wall. So I have to imagine there's people out there who are actually listening. Okay, but I've written 13 books. You can see there's going to be a lot of material I can cover, and it all deals with the metaphysical, the strange, and the paranormal, and the unusual. And those of you who have listened to the other shows that I've done know that my work is based, my books are based on my work with hypnosis. All of the information that I've received that I write about came through the information I got with my sessions with clients, and it's accumulated now for 30 years of doing this and thousands of people. So I don't channel. The information I get is like a reporter, and I put it all together. Tonight I wanted to talk about my book, Between Death and Life, and I know I'm just going to be able to touch on part of it, because there's so much information in that book. But I'm used to speaking on that for as long as 3 hours. So I was trying to figure what I can put in 1 hour that would be condensing it to hit the most important parts of all. When I've spoken on this, sometimes at Unity churches, and they make the announcement that I'm going to speak on Between Death and Life, people say, isn't that a mistake? Isn't it supposed to be the other way around, between life and death? But no, it isn't, because that's a whole other life that you do live when you leave the earth plane and go to the spirit side. And that's why I decided to call it that. Between death and life is a whole other existence that you go to. Now, when you're doing past life regressions, as I do, in order to do it correctly, if the person is the hypnotist is doing it in the right way, they will take the person all the way through the past life, hitting on all the most important days, the most important events in that life as it relates to their life now. But if it is done correctly, they will take the person through the death experience, because many of the problems the people have in the present lifetime come from the way they died in the other lifetime. And I know there's some hypnotists that I've heard will say, oh, no, no, we can't do that. What if something were to happen to the person if they relive their death in another life? Maybe they might experience it and have actual physical repercussions in this life, especially at the deep level that I work with, where they really do relive everything. And they said that's dangerous. So they're taught not to do it. Don't go near the death experience. But to me, that is where a wealth of information comes from. Because as I said, if they had problems in this lifetime, especially phobias, they will be can be traced back to the way the person died in the other lifetime. And I have found no danger at all. But then, I've been doing it consistently for 30 years. I still say this kind of work, past life regression, is not for anyone to play around with, because you have to know what you're doing. And I don't know if it could be dangerous in the wrong hands, but anything, if someone is doing it that don't know what they're we're dealing with, it could be harmful to the person. So it's better to have training and to know exactly what you're doing. But I have taken people through just about every kind of death that you could possibly imagine. You know, most of the deaths that we've gone through have just been simple, ordinary deaths like they are here, you know, where they've died in a hospital or they've died of a lingering illness. But I've taken them through where they've been hung, they've been burned at the stake, run over by carriages, many, many deaths in wars and plane crashes, just about every kind of death you could imagine. And in my book, The Soul Remembers Hiroshima, I had a young girl go through dying with the atomic bomb at Hiroshima as she relived the life of a Japanese man. So I feel that I've had enough experience with it to know they will not be any physical repercussions on the person that we're working with as they go through the death experience. But here again, if it has to be handled, all of this, even the therapy has to be handled by a professional who knows what they're doing. I always tell people, they want to know, well, how will they know the therapist is correct if they're the right one for them to see? I tell them to rely on your gut instinct. Rely on your feelings. If you feel you can trust that person, then work with them. If there's something about them that you don't feel comfortable with, then don't work with that person. But it's the same in any kind of therapy. If you're not comfortable with any therapist, you're not going to get the kind of care that you need, and you're not going to get the results. Because I have found the subconscious is protecting the person at all times. If it feels that the person is not, you know, the best interest of the client, the subconscious will not allow anything to be released, or there'll only be bits and pieces, and it won't be the most important part. So the subconscious is protecting you, and it's not allowing anything to come out that is not in your best interest or not that maybe you can't handle. It won't come out. So, but trust your instincts, and if you don't feel comfortable with a therapist, then find someone else that you do feel comfortable with. But anyway, I have not found any problems with going through the death experience. Now, the information that I put in that book, Between Death and Life, came from working with hundreds and hundreds of people. I wrote it as though one person was speaking in some parts of it, but actually it was the accumulation and gathering of information from hundreds of people. The way I look at it, it's almost like a scientific experiment. If all of these people report the same things happening when the person dies and where they go on the other side, then I think that is scientific evidence, because it is repeatable and it is definitely verifiable information. If none of these people know each other, they don't know what I'm looking for, they don't know what I'm doing, and they all come up with the same kind of story, I think there is validity there. Because every one of the people I've worked with, I soon found they were all reporting the death sensation, what it felt like, the same way, and they were reporting going to the same places on the other side. And they also reported the different ways things that happened to you as you more or less, I guess you would say, report in to the masters and the elders, and they go over everything. And then when you go through the parts about coming back, everyone reported the same things. So that, to me, gives it a greater validity. All right. I have a daughter who is a nurse, and she worked for many years in intensive care. Now, she said the saddest cases that she had in intensive care was usually an old woman or an old man who were dying, and they were terrified. They had been told by their church that unless you were perfect, you were not going to heaven. You'd end up in a horrible place like hell. And maybe the person has lived a good life. Maybe they have done the best they could. You know, being human, that's about all you can expect out of us. But my daughter said this one old woman was just terrified because she kept saying, I'm not perfect and I'm going to go. The church says I will go to hell. Now, what kind of a service does that do the person for a church to make them afraid to die, that they die in fear? I don't see how that is helping the person at all, to have them live a good life and then they're dying in terror when they should be dying in peace, knowing that all they're doing is going home. That we have done this hundreds and hundreds of times because we have had hundreds and hundreds of lives. And we have gone through this procedure, the life and then the dying and going to the other side, what were they called, going home. We have done it so many times. It's just that while we're alive, we forget these things. And they fade away whenever you enter the life. We don't realize it's a very common thing that our body is going to go through again, and there's absolutely no need for fear. Incidentally, I have never found a hell in any of my work. I don't see how it could possibly be, because a loving God would not do that. You know, there is the analogy that as parents, if your child messes up, makes a mistake, are you going to throw them into the oven? No, you would give them a chance. You would give them a chance to do it again and do it right. I know as mothers especially, we always say we will stick with our children no matter what they do. We will always try to help them. We will try to make life easier for them and help them realize their mistakes. Now, what's the difference between that and a loving father, a loving God? Because God would not do that. He would not punish his children in that way. And, of course, I've done a lot of Bible research also, which I will be getting into in some of my other talks, and I know that the idea of hell did not come from the original Bible. But I have never found anything like that. I have always found total forgiveness, no matter what the person does when they cross to the other side. Because life is just a school. Life on earth is a school. We come here to learn lessons. Each lesson is different. Maybe some of the lessons are harder than others. But you decide yourself when you're going to come in what kind of a challenge you're going to put before you. So it doesn't matter, even if something evil or something bad has happened, it's all up to what happens on the other side. But it is not the way the church teaches people. Also, I do want to say, every religion in the world, every religion, has reincarnation as its basis. Because it makes so much sense. It answers all of the questions. And people always bring up the Christian religion. If you do your research, you will find in the early days of the Christian religion, it also had reincarnation as the basis of its religion. And it wasn't until the 5th century, whenever the church was founded, the 5th century at the 5th council, is when they met to decide how they were going to have the Bible read. And that is when they went over everything and said, this is what we will say, Jesus said, etc., etc. And this is the parts we will have in the Bible. And at that time, it was decided that all of the doctrines and the parts in the Bible dealing with rebirth would be taken out of the Bible. Now, this is not something I'm just making up. Anyone who wants to find out can go and look at the records, because this is still a record in the church records of what occurred at these different councils when the church was being founded and being put together. It is all there, all of these things, that it was taken out at that time. And I'm not trying to go against anyone's religious beliefs. I respect religious beliefs. I work with many different religions all over the world, and I respect their beliefs. I'm not trying to change anybody's belief system. I just say, ask questions. There's more out there. You can have both. You can combine the two together. You can have your church if you're comfortable there. That's fine. But you can also ask questions and want to know more. And when you get to the point you want to know more, the answers are there. And there's many books and there's many people out there who can help you to explore. It doesn't have to take away from your religious beliefs. You can combine the two together. It's always said, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And that's what I've tried to do, is give them another way of looking at this. All right, I don't know how much I'm going to be able to get into this time, but let's start with what happens when the person dies. And this, again, is the accumulation of all the years of research, everyone saying the same thing. If they are dying a simple death, like, you know, from a lingering illness, and they've been in the hospital, something like that, if they're dying just an ordinary death, then they say first they feel very cold, and then the next instant they're standing by the side of the bed looking down at their body. And usually they'll say, gee, I didn't know I looked so bad. Then they realize what has happened, and they are so excited. They said, I'm out of there. Finally, I'm out of there. I'm not trapped anymore. I can do anything I want. I can go anywhere I want. All I have to do is think it, and I can be there. They said, this is wonderful. I'm not limited in that body anymore. And when you realize how they feel, would you really want them to go back into that sick body that is deteriorating and there's probably no way would ever be functional again? Would you really want them to go back into that body? Or if you would realize how wonderful it is when they are released and they are free of that. They don't want to go back into that body. They want to go on to the next step of the adventure. Now, people who have died violent deaths, car wrecks, or maybe in wars, where they are taken out of the body suddenly, then there may be confusion because they don't know what is happening. Like the other ones have an idea that they are going to die. But if they are taken out of the body suddenly, it can cause confusion, and they're not really sure what has happened. And they're trying to figure it out because they are jerked out so fast. That's a different matter. But the usual death is just very easy. They say it's just like getting up from one chair and sitting down in another chair. It is so easy to just slide right out of that body. And you know, you are not a body. You have a body. This body is like a suit of clothes. And like any suit of clothes, eventually it's going to wear out. And eventually you're going to have to get rid of it and throw it away. Even no matter how much you like the suit of clothes and how used to it you've been, eventually you're going to have to throw it away. And at that time, you go to another suit of clothes. That's all reincarnation is, because the real you is that spirit, that soul, that spark from God. And that's what I've been told by the people I've worked with. They see themselves as like a tiny spark. That's the real you. The body isn't. This is just your suit of clothes, your housing at this time in this life. The next time around, you may be in a different suit of clothes. You may decide to be in something totally different, and you go off on another adventure. You may even decide you want to go off into another planet or something. There are no limits to the adventures you can have. But this is just what you are wearing at this time. It will wear out, and you will have to eventually discard it. So I know we get very attached to it because we've had it for so long. We're used to it. But at the moment of death, we realize that we can just throw it off and we can go on to where we're supposed to go. And it's extremely beautiful over there. But this is a school. You come here to learn. And in this school, you can have to repeat a grade. But you cannot skip a grade. You cannot go on to the next grade until you have passed all the tests and all of the lessons in the present lifetime. Then you can go on to the next step. It may be in the same lifetime or it may be in the next lifetime. But you cannot skip a grade. And I've been told one of the reasons for coming to Earth is to learn limitations and emotions. There are some planets where they don't have these lessons. We have free will here. This is another thing that is different. But you come to Earth to learn limitations and emotions. And they said Earth is a very challenging planet. And they really admire the souls that want to come here and work out their lessons. And if you don't learn at this time, you have to come back and do it again. A lot of people keep drawing the same situations to their life again and again and again because they have not understood the lesson. They have not worked out the lesson. Once they understand this, that you do control your life, you create the things that happen in your life, then you can move on to the next lesson, which may or may not be better, you don't know. But it is the next step in passing the test. You can't go from kindergarten to college. You have to work it all out step by step. And you cannot return to God until you are perfect. And you cannot do that in one lifetime. It's absolutely impossible. There is too much to learn. You accumulate karma for many, many lifetimes. It has to be worked out. It's been said, God will forgive, but the law of karma will not. If you realize that, you would try to be better with people and try not to incur any karma because you know you're not going to get out of it. It does come back. You must repay it. They say, you know, what goes around comes around, and that is absolutely true. You see people that do awful things, hurt other people, and you say, how can this be? What kind of a just God would allow that? They don't realize, and you probably don't realize, they will have to pay it back. If it doesn't happen in this life, it may happen in the next life. But there's no way of getting out of it. And there are some people I've seen, it's like, oh boy, I sure am glad I'm not going to have to deal with their karma. That's going to take many lifetimes to pay all that back. The idea is to get off of the wheel of karma, to stop having to keep coming back to Earth again and again and again, and then you can start advancing upward through the different spirit realms till you learn more and more. To get off of the wheel of karma. In my books on Jesus, I found a great deal of information. And Jesus, the only thing you could say he came to save us from was the wheel of karma. He saw that we were just going round and round, going nowhere, just keep repeating the same mistakes over and over, building karma and just getting back on the same thing and not progressing upward, not leaving the wheel of karma and progressing upward. He came to show us how we could get off of the wheel of karma and begin progressing up the ladder spiritually. And of course, the answer is love. Love is the answer to everything. He said if there was love in the world, there would be no violence. There would be no wars. There would be no violence. And the world would be the heaven on earth it was supposed to be. He was trying to show people those things. A lot of this has gotten all tangled up with the religious dogma. But it's just the idea of getting off of this wheel of karma so you don't have to keep coming back and repay again and again and again. When I do my sessions, I tell people that the idea is to get rid of all the old karma and try not to make any more. Some people don't even know what karma means, but it's the law of the balance. And everything has to balance. And if it doesn't, you have to keep coming back again to repay it, so it will balance out. It is a law of the universe, and there's many of these laws of the universe that just are. There's no way of getting around them. And if people realize that, I think they would be a lot kinder to each other, and there wouldn't be the wars and the violence that we see. But all right, we go back to the part where the person has left the body, and they are just so happy because now they can go and do anything they want. The last thing they would want is to go back into that body. Now, of course, the people who are with them when they die or their relatives, there's always a lot of grief because they don't want the person to die. But if you think about it, who are you really grieving for? The person is going on to a beautiful, wonderful place, and they're happy. They want to go on. It's not that they don't love you. It's just that this is the next step, and they know you will understand. When you are grieving, you're trying to hold that person here. It's really for yourself. It's selfish when you think about it. It's because you will miss them. You depend on them. Of course, you love them, but coming back into that body would not be the answer. They have a whole other adventure to go on to. And I've had people email me and very upset, you know, like one man said his wife had died and he loved her so much and he couldn't live without her and he wanted to know, would she be waiting for him or would she even know that he missed her? If you want to see them on the other side, of course they'll wait for you. And over there, they said it's like the blink of an eye, and you'll be there. So you have to go on with your life here, realizing you will be reunited with your loved ones. And then from there on, it's a whole other scenario of what you have to do. Anyway, when the person leaves the body, you are never alone. It is very important. People are so afraid that they're going to be alone when they die. You are never alone. Even in life, you are never alone. That's what a lot of people, from the mail I get, think they are. They think they're just thrown out here and they have no one with them. When you come into a life, you have a guide or a guardian angel assigned to you, whichever one you want to call it. Every religion and every culture in the world has the belief in guardian angels, guides, whatever you want to call them. When you come into a life, you have one assigned to you who is to take care of you and help you all through your life. Now, they can't interfere. They're there to help. but you have to ask them for help. You've probably heard stories of emergencies whenever they've had to step in and save the person. Those are real stories. They really happen. But as a rule, they can't interfere. But if there's something in your life that you want and you want help with, all you have to do is ask your guardian angel to help you with it. They are so happy when you do that. Because they say they cannot interfere. And they say, if you don't ask us for help, we have no one to assist. And it's very frustrating because they know what they can do. And I've seen what they can do. If you ask them for help, they can do miracles. They can make things happen that are all utterly impossible. But first you have to realize you have someone with you at all times. Now, you may have more than one if your life is complicated. You could have as many as four or five, depending on which direction your life is going. But I like to believe you have one, main one, that stays with you your entire life. Because if your life takes a sudden direction and goes off in a different direction, like mine did, then some of the guides will change places. Have new ones coming in that will have more expertise in the field that you're going into or the next part of your adventure. But there will always be that one who is with you all of your life to help you. So if you have someone with you from the day you were born, how could you possibly be alone when you die? These are what I call the greeters. Because when you die, there will always be someone there to go with you and show you where to go. And they may be friends, relatives, but if they're not, at least your guide will be there. Because there will always be someone to take you where you're supposed to go. And I know many of you have probably sat in hospital rooms when someone was dying. And they see invisible people around them in the bed, around the bed, and they talk to them, or they'll say, "Oh, there is Aunt so and so. She's here." And these are real. It's real to that person. These are the people that have come with to meet them when they cross over, so they can take them to where they're supposed to go. They're the greeters. They're the guides to take them to make sure they go to the right place on the other side. And this is very important, I think, that people realize that. I've talked to nurses and doctors who have been in hospital rooms, too, and they talk about the patients seeing things that they can't see, seeing people that they can't see. Of course, a lot of times they think it's because of the drugs or because of the oxygen deprivation that they are dying, and so they're hallucinating. But I've heard it happen so many times, and I know they're all seeing the same thing. It is not a hallucination. They really are being met by someone who will take them on the rest of the journey. And I think people are afraid to die because they're afraid they're going to be alone. They should realize this. This will always be someone there to help them. Now, I have many people who have reported near-death experiences where they talk about leaving the body and going down tunnels and seeing glimpses of the other side, and it is extremely beautiful over there. And a lot of times they will have someone meet them, and they'll say, "Well, you know, it's not really your time. Do you want to go on, or you can go back? You can do either one. It's up to you." And in the cases of the near-death experiences, they will choose to go back, or sometimes they're pulled back. There's many different ways this can happen. But the people who have reported these to me talk about heading down the tunnel and seeing a huge bright light ahead of them. Well, the ones who have not completed the journey. Naturally, they haven't if they've come back. They started out on the journey, but they couldn't go all the way without really dying, so they have come back. The ones who have reported going just on the beginning of it are pulled back into the body. They never go through or all the way up to that bright light. I found out what that bright light is. You may call it God, you may call it the Creator, you may call it the Source, whatever it is you want to call it. It is a huge energy source. And until the person actually dies, they can still return to the body. Once they go through that huge bright light, this huge energy source, then they cannot return to the body. This is because you are connected at all times with the silver cord. I'm assuming most of the people listening know these metaphysical terms, but it is a real cord. It's been described almost like a bungee cord, but it keeps your soul attached to the body as long as you are alive. And when you go out of the body at night, everyone goes out of their body at night when they go to sleep. The body is the part that gets tired. The soul doesn't have any need to sleep. It can get bored sitting around waiting for you to wake up so it can continue with what it's supposed to do. So the body is what needs sleep. And at that time, the soul, the real you, is off having all kinds of adventures, going back to the spirit side, conversing with its guides, its masters, and the elders, or maybe going off to other planets, other dimensions, all kinds of things. But when you get ready to wake up in the morning, the soul is more or less reeled in, I guess would be a good analogy, by reeling in that silver cord. And you must return to your body at that time, and you wake up in the morning. But when you go through the death experience, and you go through that huge bright light, at that moment, the silver cord is dissolved. That is when the death occurs. The silver cord is dissolved, and you're on the other side, and you cannot return to the body. The physical body begins to deteriorate immediately because the spark of life is now out of it, and you cannot return to the body after that. And it must remain on the other side. So that is what happens at that point of death. Then the greeters will take the person to where they're supposed to go. And it is so beautiful over there. They have no problem going on with it. But I have found three places that the soul goes to whenever it crosses over. They're called the lower astral, the middle astral, and the higher astral. Lower astral, I don't think there's much danger of anyone listening, I hope not, to going there. But these are the souls that have not progressed very far at all. They have done negative things in this lifetime, and when they die, they don't even really know they have died because they are so associated with that physical body. They're so associated with the physical life and all the pleasures of the physical life that they don't even realize they have died. These may be also called earthbound spirits. That means that they just hang around Earth because they don't know they can go anywhere else. And the greeter is there to help them. But they often don't see them or don't pay any attention to them, don't even know what they're there for. Most of them are trying to get back into their body, which, of course, is impossible. Sometimes the greeter will even show them the body in the mortuary trying to convince them they have died. They don't have a body anymore. But they don't understand. They are still so connected with the physical. And a lot of these, if they were drug addicts or alcoholics, it becomes even more confusing to them. They don't understand what has happened, and they can't understand why people can't hear them and talk to them. And they will go hang around places like where they did before, like where people are using drugs or using alcohol, and they're trying to get the same pleasures and sensations that they got before. They're trying to do it by osmosis because naturally they don't have a body. After a while, this can get very frustrating because they realize something's different. And then finally they'll say, well, this is boring. I can't get the same sensations I had before. At that point, then they can become aware of the greeter, the one who has come to help them, and they can get through to them and tell them, okay, now are you ready to go where you're supposed to go? And they will take them onto the other side where they're supposed to be. So it's hard to say how long this condition could last until they would finally get tired of it and say, all right, there's something not right here. This is the lower astral. The majority of the people are not going to go to that part. Many of them go to what is called the middle astral. I've associated the middle astral with what most people think heaven is like. It is extremely beautiful. They've all described it the same way. There's rolling hills, and there's a lake, and on the hills are all kinds of houses, and on any kind of a house you could possibly imagine. They are beautiful flowers. There's music in the air. And they said, if you could imagine the most perfect flower, the most perfect rose, something with colors that are so vivid and so bright, they're not like any colors we have on earth. I've had people who've had near-death experiences report that's one of the things they remembered when they came back was the vividness of the colors. And even when they come back into the body after a near-death experience, for several days, they still can see everything with this exaggerated colors and almost see the molecules and everything because it has remained with them. But the colors are extremely beautiful, and I said one time, is that a reflection of Earth? They said, oh no, Earth is a very poor reflection of what it's like over there. If you could imagine the most beautiful rose in the most vivid colors, but that it would never die. It would always remain a beautiful rose. That is what the flowers are like over there. But then, also on these hills are these different houses. And the person that goes to the middle astral is given a choice. What kind of a house do you want to live in? Do you want to live in one just like the one you left? Or do you want to live in something different? Or do you want to live in a castle? Anything you want is possible. And do you want to live there with your friends and relatives that are passed on? All of that is possible, too. But there's one problem. They think they're going to be there for eternity because this is one thing the church has told them. This is heaven. They're continuing their lives as they thought it should be, as they remembered it should be, with their friends and relatives, and it's their idea of heaven. But they've forgotten about karma. And one day, someone will come knocking on their door and say, well, are you ready? It's time to go up before the boards. They have the boards with the elders and the masters and your guides and guardian angels. We have to go over your life and go before the board. And they'll say, no, this is fine. I like it just like it is. I just want to stay here and enjoy this. But they don't realize they can't, because it's just like a little reprieve, but it's not the way it is. The law of karma is too demanding. So they go, they're brought before the board. And the elders and the masters show them their life. They show you everything that ever happened in your life. You're shown all the things you did. But to me, the most disturbing part of all, you are shown everything you did from the viewpoint of everybody else involved. Husbands, wives, or whatever it is that you are connected with. You are shown the life from their viewpoint as it affected them. And many times the person will say, I didn't know I hurt them like that. I didn't know what I said affected them that way. And at that point, then they realize, I have to repay that. I must make good on that, because what I did was not right. And they're going to have to come back and repay it. Work it out some way. That's where karma comes in. And they make an agreement with the other person involved. If they've already on that side, they will say, well, we didn't do such a good job, did we? We're going to come back and have to do it again. This time you be the husband, I'll be the wife. We just reverse roles, and maybe we can make it work better that way. One thing that's important, there is no one sitting up there on a throne who is going to judge you and chastise you. There is no God that's going to punish you, throw you into hell. There's no God that is going to make you come back and punish you in some way for what you have done and when you return to earth. There's no one up there with a big staff or club saying, no, you've been bad, you have to go back and do thus and such, or you have to go wherever. That is not the way it works. You see your life. You see what you have done to other people. You see their reactions. You realize what you have to repay. You are the judge. You judge yourself. And there can be no harsher judge than you yourself. You're the one that decides the kind of punishment you will delve out to yourself, what you have to repay, what you have to come back and take care of, who you have to take care of these things. You are the one that decides yourself. You can't blame God and say, why did he punish me this way? Why have these horrible things happened in my life? You are the ones that set everything in motion, and you have done it to yourself. You are the judge, and there's no harsher judge than you yourself. And when I'm doing this at a lecture, an auditorium, there's always a lot of people that have questions. And I know many of you have questions going around in your mind. And I'm only touching the surface of some of these things. But I don't know if there's going to be time for people to call in or not. But I do want to tell you about the third place you can go. This is the upper astral. This is my favorite place. This is what I think heaven should be. I think the idea of floating around on a cloud, playing a harp for eternity would be the most boring thing I could possibly imagine. I definitely wouldn't want to have that be my heaven. To me, heaven is learning, knowledge, schools. That is what we find in the upper astral. there is a huge building, it's several buildings together. It's called the Temple of Wisdom Complex. This is where the more advanced souls go to. Now, you remember, you cannot go to any level unless you have attained that level, because your vibration, your frequency will not match these levels. That's why you would go to the lower astral, the middle astral. You cannot climb, you cannot go to the upper levels in the spirit world until you have reached that point by what you do on earth, by the repaying of the karma. Your vibrations and frequencies have to match. You just can't, otherwise you cannot exist there. But the ones that go to the upper astral are the ones who have been learning and wanting knowledge and wanting to progress on. In the Temple of Wisdom complex, there's many parts to it. One part that I found was the Temple of Healing. And this people have written to me about, saying, how can I go there? Well, in the book it says all you have to do is visualize it and picture it in your mind, and you can go there at night when you're sleeping. But this is where people, if they have died a violent death or if they have died from a long suffering illness, they are taken to the Temple of Healing first before they go on to where they're supposed to go, the final resting place, or the final place for the temporary time, I guess you would say. It's not final anyway. But they are taken there, and there's long lines leading into this building. It's extremely beautiful. It's a circular building, has a huge dome on the top. The dome is all kinds of precious jewels, and the light coming down through these jewels casts beautiful colors on the floor in a big beam of light that comes straight down. I had one person that saw it from the outside, and they saw the beams of light shooting up out of the building. So the person is led into the center of this room, and they are bathed in this beautiful light, and it takes away all of the residue that has been on the body, on the soul, I guess you would say. It cleanses away all of the residue remaining from the way they died. And it's like a cleansing. After that happens, then they're allowed to go on. But I was told that it would be a good service if I would tell people they could go to this place while they're still alive. They could go to the Temple of Healing and get healing there also. But also on this part, on the upper astral, are the schools. There is also the tapestry room, where the tapestry of life is found. And in this tapestry, it is a huge, enormous tapestry that covers an entire wall. I'm trying to speed this up. I don't know if I'll have time to talk about it all or not. But everyone has a thread in that tapestry of life. And it shows how, although we are one, we can influence everyone, because our threads are all interwoven with all the threads of every other soul. And in that, it shows how we influence everyone. Everything we do influences someone else. We are one, but yet we are all together. If you realize that, I think you would be much more careful of the things you did and the things you said, realizing we are all together in this journey and this school and these classes and learning. There's not going to be time to go into the rest of the journey. I will try to remember where we stop so I can continue it next time. But if anyone wants to contact me or contact the office, our 800 number is 1-800-935-0045. 1-800-935-0045. And our website is www.com. www.ozarkmountain.com, but the Ozark Mountain is abbreviated, OZARKMT.com. Or if you're in Europe, it's OZARKMT.com. If anyone wants to know about private sessions with me, or if you want to know about the lectures I give, or if you want to know about my classes with hypnosis, you can contact us through that website or the 800 number. Right. Next week, I have a woman who is coming all the way from France. She's one of my publishers in Europe, and she'll be here. I will be interviewing her and letting her talk about her company and the metaphysical books that she prints. Then, hopefully then, the next week, we'll try to continue some of these things. There's just so much information. You can't get it into just 1 hour. Anyway, I've hoped you've enjoyed it. I've hoped you learned something. And these will continue, I guess, the Don says forever. I don't know, but we will continue on next week. Have a good night.